I was looking at the front of the bulletin, and Brenda put this sentence at the bottom. What a blessing it is to have retired pastors among us. I wonder what she meant by that. I mean, I worked and I got tired, and then I stopped working and I got retired. Well, I don't know how good your memory is, but the last time I preached, folks said, boy, that was short. I usually do preach about 30 to 45 minutes. And since I didn't use all the time last time, can I tack the extra 20 minutes on this? Well, we'll try not to overdo. We've called it the core of the gospel. And before we get underway, let's just pray for a moment. Father, thank you for the gift of humor, but Father, thank you most of all for you, for your Son, for the Holy Spirit, for your Word. And God, we ask simply this morning, Lord, speak in the stillness while we wait on Thee. Hushed our hearts to listen in expectancy. May we do that, Father. Thank you. Speak through your word today. In Jesus' name, amen. The core of the gospel. I'd like for you to hang your thinking on three different words this morning. We're going to look first at the person. Then we want to go on to look at the problem. And then finally, Lord willing, we want to look at the presence. Let's look at the person. You have your Bibles open to 1 Corinthians 15, or if you want to open them to 1 Corinthians 15. I'm going to look at verses 3 and 4. Paul, under inspiration here, wrote these words to the church at Corinth. Chapter 15 of 1 Corinthians, verses 3 and 4. He said, "For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received." Now notice those next few words. How that Christ died for us. Christ died for us. Christ died for us. That one word, that title, Christ, that is the core of the gospel. I have heard a tremendous message by Dr. Stephen Olford on revival at the Heart Cry Conference in Lancaster a few years back. And he was talking about revival. And he said, revival is not an it. Revival is a person. Revival is Jesus. And this is true in this particular context this morning. The gospel is not an it. The gospel is Jesus. He's the heart and core of the gospel. And this passage goes on to tell us that he died for our sins, according to the scriptures. He died for our sins. He didn't swoon. He didn't faint. He didn't sleep. He died. If any one of us had gone through what he went through before and at the cross and after, there would be no question that it was true death. And why did he do it? Because if he didn't, we would go through eternal death. Think of that. We would be doomed to forever death, separated from God and righteousness forever. Never again to see anything free of sin, evil, crime, wickedness, immorality, and so forth. He did that for us. And I would just say to you this morning, if you've never come to him, you are risking the greatest gamble that any person could ever risk. Because one moment from now, you could be before him. And if you don't know him, you're rejected forever. And if you need information on how to come to him or you have questions, we'd love to talk with you. But the thing I want to drive home right at the moment is that he did this for us on that cross. What happened there? Every single wrong thing that we have ever done, said, or thought was paid for in full as to its due penalty. Jesus paid it all. All to him we owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it as white as snow. The prophet Isaiah said, "Come now, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." What a cleansing. The blood of Jesus goes deeper than the stain of sin is gone. He died, and he was buried. And there's a comma there. If he'd only died, our situation would be hopeless. But he rose again. He came back to life. Think about that for just a moment. Someone you know and love, or somebody that loves you greatly, dies, and you go to visit the site of the cemetery, and you see them walking toward you. What is this? What is this? This is impossible. But it wasn't for Jesus. I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that he is living, whatever men may say. I see his hand of mercy. I hear his voice of cheer. And just the time I need him, he's always near. He lives. He lives. He lives within my heart. What a tremendous thing. And what he went through, I want you to go, please, back to Matthew chapter 27 for just a moment. And just see this picture here. Darkness, verse 45, a very intense darkness, we're told. Darkness. And then at that ninth hour, Jesus took on him all the sins of the whole world. It only benefits those who come to him, but he paid for all of the sin debt of the entire human race, for all of its existence on that cross. He endured what we should have endured. And when we come to him, the psalmist tells us, so far as the east is from the west, so far have they removed our transgressions from us. Think about that. If you go east, you'll always go east. If you go west, you'll always go west. They'll never meet. That's how far he's removed our sins from us. He had to endure the Father's wrath that should have been poured on us. And he cried out, screamed as it were, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani," that is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Picture him hanging there. After all the beatings, all of the accusations, all of the mockery, all of the insults and taunts, beatings, after all of that, They nailed him. They nailed him to that cross. And they tell us that what they put through him was something like this. They drove something like this through him, not to mention the sword. What a punishment he took for us. What an amazing grace. They heard him say, or they said of him, this man is calling for Elias. And somebody took a sponge and tried to give him something to drink. And then others said, don't leave him alone. But when he had cried again with a loud voice, he yielded up the ghost. It is finished, was his cry. Finished, paid for, paid in full. The debt is paid. The person. But that brings us to the problem. And I think this is something that a lot of Christians today do not really come to grips with. Suppose that you idolized Abraham Lincoln. I mean, you're just totally fascinated with him. You read everything you could read about him. People told you things about him. Maybe there were even some descendants that could tell you something about him, and you're just absolutely intrigued with him. And you enter your living room some evening, and you look and somebody's sitting in one of the other chairs. And you look, and it's Abraham Lincoln. You wouldn't believe it, and I wouldn't expect you to. But what an experience that would be. But he was a historical figure. He doesn't live today. He was a historical figure. What do we do with Jesus? Do we leave him as a historical figure? Back then, a couple thousand years ago? Oh, now if we know the truth, we believe with all of our hearts that he's present with us today. But do we realize he's present with us today? He couldn't be any closer because he is within our actual inner being, what we call the heart. He is inside of us. How close can you get? You can't get closer than that. He walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. And that's true of every believer. But he's alive today. Don't confine him to a book. Now let me say something so there's no misunderstanding. This book is absolutely indispensable. When God uses this book, when the Holy Spirit energizes this wonderful revelation, it's everything we need for life and faith, everything. And this is the only source of absolute truth. So it's terribly important. I couldn't say how important it is enough. But don't trap Jesus in the book. He's not only revealed in the book, just as Paul said, he's revealed his son in me. He's revealed his son in you. Our problem is sometimes we obscure the vision. But it's all about Jesus. And so that's the problem. That's a problem. Look at John chapter 5 and verse 39 and 40 with me for just a moment. John chapter 5. Verses 39 and 40. Jesus told his audience, he said, search the scriptures. And some have said that should be, ye search the scriptures. Either way, it adds up to the same thing. Search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life. What an interesting statement. We don't have eternal life in the ink, in the paper. We have eternal life in Jesus. This tells us about it. And we need to know this. But it is He that gives the eternal life. They testify of me, He said. And then that sad statement, you will not come to me that you might have rest and life. And that brings us to the wonder of bringing Him into our lives and daily existence today. The presence. The wonderful verse in John 14. You might want to turn to that, John 14. And our verse is verse 18. 14:18. Jesus told those disciples that He was leaving. He said, I will not leave you comfortless. Now notice these next words. I will come to you. He's here right now. In this room. In our lives. He came. In the person of the Holy Spirit. He came. Look at John 16:7. John 16:7. Jesus went on to say, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It's expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send Him unto you. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Christ liveth in me. You can each say that if you know Him. He lives inside of me. Astonishing. I love what Major Ian Thomas said years ago, speaking about that wonderful indwelling. He said, God wants to be everything in what we are. And that's nothing. And that'll really be something. Deity expressed through humanity. Wow. And so He said, I'll send the Holy Spirit. And then, you know, He gave an assignment. Go back to the book of Matthew, please. Chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28. Very last part of the Gospel of Matthew. Verse 19 and verse 20. He told those early disciples. He told them that he had the authority in verse 18. And He says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name, not names, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Now watch. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. You know, He reiterated that through the writer of Hebrews, Hebrews 13, I think it's 5. If not, it's next door. Hebrews 13, 5. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Never leave thee nor forsake thee. You know, it's very interesting. You can read that backwards and it'll say the same thing. Thee leave nor thee forsake. Never will I. I think that was put there for double emphasis. That presence must never be confined to a book. It must be enjoyed today, 24/7. What a wonder. What an astonishing miracle that we have in the gospel and person of Jesus. What an astonishing privilege and glory. We were talking about that in the song service preceding, and I think we talked about it in class, if I recall correctly. We beheld his glory. And we look at that and we say, wow, I would like to have been there. When you open this book, depending on the illumination of the Spirit, you and I are to behold his glory. Because this book from Genesis 1 to Revelation 22, whatever it is all about Jesus. Let's talk about Jesus. The King of Kings is he. The Lord of Lords, supreme through all eternity. The great I Am. The way, the truth, the life, the door. Let's talk about Jesus more and more. He's the theme. He's the heart. He's the core of the book. He's the core of the gospel. It's all about him. What a wonderful Savior. Let's not confine him to the text. Just in closing, thinking about what he went through for us so that we can enjoy that presence. I love this old gospel song. When on the cross, those cruel nails gave me a Christ who never fails, a Christ from whose wounds there came a flow that saves from sin. How much I owe, how much I owe for love divine, how much I owe that Christ is mine. But what he did for me, I know. I cannot tell how much I owe. Well, I hope you know him. But if you don't, we'd love to help you. He is risen from the dead, and he is Lord. What a Savior. It's glory just to walk with him. Let's close in prayer. Father, thank you. Thank you for this wonderful time in your word. Thank you for that wonderful Savior that you've given us, our blessed Lord Jesus. Father, how wonderful it is. And we just ask, Father, that if there's even one here this morning that's never come to him, that they would do that today. But for those of us that really know him, may we not relegate him to back then. May we enjoy him in fullness. 24/7 right now. Thank you, Father. In his matchless name, amen.